Welcome to the sermons of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan. We pray that this may be a blessing to you and that the Word of God would dwell richly in your hearts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One way in which we can summarize our gospel this morning comes from our epistle. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Another way to summarize it is from 1 Samuel, which says, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In our gospel this morning, the Lord speaks of two men and the two places that they end up in death. Our Lord begins in this way. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." By all accounts, the rich man looked as if he had everything together. Pardon me. He was rich, exceedingly so, for he clothed himself in purple and fine linen. Purple was a very expensive color because it was made by harvesting a certain species of sea snail. It took over 12,000 snails to make enough dye just to dye the hem of a garment. To dye a whole garment would have required hundreds of thousands of snails and many people working to crush them. He did not wear simple linen either, or homespun fabric, but fine linen that had a most delicate weave. He also had enough money to feast sumptuously every day, eating rich and delicate foods. Certainly, he would have been popular, inviting and receiving those in the upper echelons of Jerusalem to his house, the high priest, the high-ranking scribes and Pharisees, and others with influence. By these same men, he would have been accounted as a good man. After all, God had blessed him, just like God blessed Abraham with many flocks and sheep and riches. With this much being given by God, he must have been a good person. How could God give so much to a wicked man? He most likely attended the synagogue regularly and would have given tithes of all he had. But while outwardly he seemed to be good and blessed and even righteous, inwardly it was a different story. It was obvious from how he is described, as well as where he ends up, that this rich man had a lack of both faith and love. While having fine clothing and eating nice things are not sins in and of themselves, because our Lord mentions them in this way, he shows us that the rich man set his heart on them. These things, along with all of his wealth and the power and influence that came with it, became his gods. They became his gods because he trusted in them above all things. He found in them his joy and delight and expected all good to come from them. Every day he wore the finest and most expensive clothing and prided himself in it. Every day he fared sumptuously and ate richly and more than he needed. Pride, gluttony, lust, and greed are all seen in his actions. These are not the fruits of faith, but rather of unbelief. He may have went to the synagogue and tithed of his possessions, but he did so only to keep up appearances. This was just another way to accumulate power and prestige, like his clothing and his feasts. He longed for more and more riches, more and more honor in the eyes of men, more and more influence over others. These he desired more than God himself. St. Paul warns us in his first epistle to St. Timothy, saying, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In this, we see the rich man clearly. He desired to be rich to retain his wealth, and thus had set a snare for himself and gone into all sorts of evil. And look how he lacked any love whatsoever. True love, charity, comes from a heart of faith. He who loves God must love his brother also. He may have claimed to love God, but he was a liar, for he hated his brother. The rich man was given much, a great abundance, and yes, this was the gift of God and the blessing of God, but he did not use them properly. He spent them on himself and his friends and on those from whom he could gain a benefit. Everything he did was calculated. He always thought of what he could get in return. Thus, he did not help Lazarus. Lazarus was daily at his gate. He was ignored. He did not want much, only to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yet, he did not even give him this. The Lord had given this man much in order that he might help much, yet he did not do so. He could have easily fed Lazarus daily without feeling any want himself, but he didn't. He could have had Lazarus clothed and would have not been much poorer for it, but he didn't. He could have sent for a physician to heal his wounds, but he didn't. Even if he himself did not want to do these things, he could have told his servants to go and care for Lazarus, but he wouldn't even do this. The street dogs, unclean animals as they were, had more mercy and love for Lazarus than he did, licking his sores. The Lord God blesses us in various ways and calls us to various vocations that we might love one another. For he has greatly loved us in giving his Son into death for our sins, even though we were his enemies and could never repay him. Yet he did so out of his love for us. Thus we love him, for he first loved us. And having been so greatly loved by him, how could we not love others as he has loved us? So he desires that those with wealth share with those who do not. He wants all of us to care for the bodily and spiritual needs of one another as we are able and as we are called to do. Sometimes we are called to be the one doing the loving, and other times we are called to be the one who is loved. One day it might be one, and the next another. Sometimes we might complain, or if we have not done it ourselves, we have heard another complain, when they're sick or old or dying, that they worry about being a burden. No, you're not a burden, but rather the Lord desires that you be loved and served. It is a good work in this case to submit to what has been laid upon you, that others might exercise their love towards you. Yes, Oma, you have cared for others all your life, but now the Lord desires that others care for you, that they be with you even as you die, even slowly, to comfort you. This is the station that Lazarus was called to at this time in his life, yet the rich man ignored him because he had no faith and thus no true love. And so the rich man died and was buried. He did not go where he expected. He saw himself as a true son of Abraham, a Jew of Jews, and he should go to be with his father. But he did not, for he did not have the faith of Abraham. So he found himself in torment in Hades, not hell, not the place created for the punishment of the devil and his angels, but the place where the spirits of the unrighteous dead wait for the last judgment, before being thrown into hell, body and soul, with the devil and his evil angels. Even though he was only there in spirit, he was in torment, for he was cut off from God. He found his glory and happiness in this life in his own wealth and glory rather than in God. So, just as he spurned God in life, he is in the place where God does not present his grace and mercy, but only his judgment in death. And so we turn to Lazarus. Just as everything outwardly looked good for the rich man, everything looked bad for Lazarus. He was a beggar. He suffered some sort of injury or disability that kept him from being able to work for his daily bread. And so he needed to rely on others. He could not even walk himself. As it says, he was laid at the rich man's gate. He was brought there and put there by others. He was covered in sores, which would most likely have caused him pain in addition to weakening him. Surely those who looked upon him saw him as one of the wretched of the earth. It would have been easy for people to look at him and to think that God had certainly abandoned this man, that God had cursed him and turned his back on him, that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. After all, do we not do the same? Something bad happens to us or others, and we think that must be a punishment from God. In John 9, the people ask Jesus about a blind man. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It is our natural state, coming from our fallen nature, to want to see such things as punishments or curses from God. Even when righteous Job was afflicted, his friends all tried to convince him that he must have done something wrong for God to punish him. And while others thought this, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart of Lazarus was one of faith, of trust in God. His name itself is a confession of this, for Lazarus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Eleazar, which means God helps. Lazarus trusted in the Lord to help him. He expected all of his good that he had to come from God. He exemplified what St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, saying, "I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because he trusted in God, because he had faith in God, Lazarus could suffer both want and need with faith. He could cry out with David in the psalm, saying, "How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" For this is a cry of one with faith in God, a cry to the Lord for mercy, trusting that he will hear and answer. And because he trusted in the Lord in this life, his suffering and even his death were precious in the Lord's sight. As it says in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And so when Lazarus dies, he's carried off by the angels to Abraham's side. See the Lord's care for his saints, that he sends the angels to attend to Lazarus in death and take him to Abraham. So too, he does the same with all believers, sending his own spiritual servants, his ministers of flame of fire, to attend us. At Abraham's side, Lazarus joins all of his fathers in the faith, all of the saints who had gone before him, all of those who trusted in the Lord, whom he delivered from death. In that place, he now receives consolation from the Lord as he waits for the last day when the Lord Jesus will raise him and all of the dead. On that day, those who died with faith, as Lazarus did, will be raised to life eternal in the new creation. And so let us learn to be like Lazarus and be poor in spirit. That is, to be content with what we have, whether much or little. Through faith in Jesus Christ and the promise of salvation from sin and life eternal, trusting in God that he will provide for us, we may be content at all times, whether we are abased or whether we abound, whether we are full or whether we are hungry, whether we abound or whether we suffer need. For Christ strengthens us with his promises and indwelling For we know that what the Lord has in store for those who love him and wait for him. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, writes St. Paul. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Such faith can be content with fine clothing or hand-me-downs, with much or little. For it relies not on these things, but on God. One who covets and desires much commits idolatry, as it is written, covetousness, which is idolatry. It is so because it is an attachment to riches or an attachment to the desire for riches, thinking either, since I have this great mass of things, I am secure. Since I have much in my savings, all is well. But it's the other way too. If only I had all of that, then I would be secure. Both the rich and the poor can fall into the same trap. To follow Lazarus in being poor in spirit is to thank God for all of his gifts which he has granted us for the sake of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, the salvation which he offers through him, but also for all of the gifts he gives to us to provide for this body and life. For he will provide for us and does provide for us, and so, trusting in him, we submit to his will. Such faith will ultimately then work itself out in love. For if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This love is exercised through good works, through desiring the best for our neighbor and doing good to those in need. As St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. May God grant that we always put our trust in him alone, so that we may not be attached to the things of this world, but instead expect all of our good from him. And may that same faith and trust he has granted bring forth the fruits of faith, the love of God and of our neighbor, through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you for joining us. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.